So we're holding on Lam Zayin Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Still on the topic of Shur, Keren, of an ox goring. The Mishnah starts out, Shur Shur Muad Laminu, Ve'enim Muad Sha'enim Minu. Suppose you have a Shur, which is Muad as far as that it's known to gore animals of its own kind, known to gore other oxen, or cows, I guess, anything of the same species. Ve'enim Muad Sha'enim Minu, but it's not Muad to gore animals of other species. Which could happen. I mean, the point is, imagine, for example, you have every time this shur sees another shur, it gores.
Right.
But when it sees donkeys, it sees camels,
right.
It sees whatever, it doesn't.
But who says that muad means,
well,
muad is for once you gore three times, so muad.
But muad for certain things. The same way as we learned, back, all the way back when we learned about the toldos of Keren, an animal that's a muad for Keren is not necessarily, for example, also a muad as far as biting, kicking, or any of the other toldos that we learned about. Each of them is a behavior of its own. So an animal can be muad for one of them and not muad for others. Yes. By the same logic, you can have it's muad. It's known to gore other oxen. It's not known to gore camels or what have you. Okay. Muad la adam ve'enim muad la behema. Same thing, you can have an animal which is muad as far as goring people and not muad as far as goring other animals at all. Which, how it would be muad for people and not been executed already is a whole different issue, which is a number of possibilities that the Yisrael and the Harshim bring up. And so maybe it gored goyim, maybe it gored several people and the case hasn't been brought to basin yet, maybe it gored several people and injured them and they're all about to die but they haven't died yet, whatever. Or muad l'ktanim ve'enim muad l'gzolim, or suppose the animal is muad as far as small animals and not as far as large ones. The doctor says a small one means, for example, baby animals, calves, let's say, as opposed to grown-up oxen. Other mafarshim talk about it may also mean small animals like sheep or goats. The problem with that is that then it's the same as mina and chani mina. Okay, anyway. Whatever it is, eshu muad loy, whatever it is, that the animal is moored for, Mishalim Nezek Shalim, and you pay Nezek Shalim for the damages for that kind of animal, that's Shane Moored by Mishalim Chatsi Nezek, and anything that's not moored for, you pay Chatsi Nezek, because it's not moored for those things. The whole point of moored is either we know the animal has developed a habit of this, or we learned previously in the Masechta, the question is the hadah meant the Yehudit Torah is meant to establish that the ox is a muad, or the Yehudit Gabra is it meant to warn the person your ox is dangerous. Either way, the point is, the point still remains, the animal is known to be dangerous to other oxen. It's not known to be dangerous to horses or donkeys. Therefore, the owner had no way of knowing. So the owner has to know, for example, when I have my ox around other oxen, I need to be careful, don't let it loose. I don't necessarily have to know up until now that I also have to be careful of it around horses or what have you.
Should have been anticipating.
No, you shouldn't have to anticipate, because all this time it's seen horses, it's seen donkeys and whatever, and it never attacked them. So therefore, there was no reason to think that it would. The same way as with a regular time, there was no reason to think that it would attack.
Who made that distinction?
That's what, the distinction is logical. The wood is something that is expectable. Something that's already happened two or three times, and it's known that Aiden came to Basin and he's been given an official warning. Therefore, logically, it only applies to the cases that we know about.
You can say the same thing within species. What only attacks older ones?
If that's the case, if it's only been attacking older ones, yeah, if it's only been attacking younger ones, like you said, more the Ktana Bane and more the Gerd. And that's exactly what Rashi explained. That Ktana means, for example,
species.
Yeah, within a species. So within a species itself, there can be distinction, yeah. Omru lifnei Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Yehuda's Talmidim asks in as follows. Harezim muad l'shabbosis ve'enim muad l'cho. What if you have an animal that's only muad to gore on Shabbos and not on weekends? Up until now, it's gored three times on Shabbos, it never gored on a weekday. Now, what would be the logic? How would an ox know the difference whether it's Shabbos or weekday? Rashi says because on Shabbos, the ox is not working. Therefore, like it has free time, and therefore, like it feels that
what about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur?
Ah, so there is quite a bit of discussion among Mepharshim.
Shofar on one day.
Yeah. Well, wait. Shofar we'll talk about on one day. Right. But meanwhile, as far as one way of looking at it is. There are a number of ways. There are some Republicans who argue that one way of looking at it might be, according to that reason, that's not working. Maybe that would apply in Yom Kippur as well. On the other, Tosfos brings a different idea. Tosfos mentions quotes from the Yerushalmi, on Shabbos people are wearing different clothing. So therefore, like he feels he doesn't recognize the people, so to speak. And therefore, Mephoshim talk about might that even affect how he deals with other animals. So one of the Nachmanites actually might be as far as Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, on the one hand, he's also not working. On the other hand, people are doing the Lechas Eichel Nefesh, so it's not like, I mean, they are wearing Yom Tov clothing, that's true, but on the other hand, it's not necessarily as clean as Shabbos clothing would be, because they cook, or whatever, and inevitably their clothes get a little bit dirty. There is a very famous story, by the way, that's told in this connection with the Rogatchover, that a woman one time comes to him with a problem. Her baby is nursing well on weekdays, he doesn't want to nurse from her on Shabbos. Rogatchover says it's a Befeder Shirushalma. She had no idea what he's talking about. She eventually got an explanation. One version of the story I read is she got it from the Ursameach, the other Rav of Zvint. Anyway, is based on this, based on what Tosfos is quoting here from the Yerushalmi. She's wearing Shabbos clothes on Shabbos. The baby kind of doesn't recognize her. A baby works on like an instinctual level, sort of in that sense, like an animal. So he recommended to her, wear weekday clothing when you're nursing your baby on Shabbos, and then you won't have a problem. History doesn't record, but I guess so. Anyway. Usually they go by the smell. Yeah, we learned from Silvis, in fact, that a blind baby even would go, but yeah. But you always have exceptions, you know. Okay, I mean, the fact is, most women don't have a problem nursing their babies on Shabbos as opposed to weekdays. All right, anyway. So the Ask of Yehuda, suppose you have a case like that. The animal is gored several times on Shabbos, but not on weekdays. What happens? So he says, yes, indeed. Yes, as a matter of fact, from now on, if he gores on Shabbos, he'll pay Nezek Shalom. If he gores on weekdays, he'll pay Chati Nezek.
And vice versa also?
Right. Okay, so there are Mephoshim who talk about whether vice versa or not. Let's put it this way. Here we're talking about Shabbos versus weekdays. Right. Again, for the reasons that Rashi or Tosfos are mentioning, there's a logical reason to distinguish between Shabbos and weekdays. If we were to say, for example, if the animal is only goring on Tuesdays, let's say, would we say the same kind of thing? Maybe, maybe not. There's no logical reason that Tuesday should be any different than any other day of the week, let's say. But then you could argue that maybe not. Once he did it three times, or actually, you might not say Tuesdays per se. We're going to talk about it on Mondays. We're going to draw an analogy between this concept of a shor mu'ad. We're going to draw an analogy between that and the concept of a woman's vest, as far as when to expect the child to come nidah. Where there can be. There's a vest based on a number of days, on an interval of days. One difference is when you have an interval of days, you need three intervals. In a situation like this, if it happened on Shabbos, if we were to say we go by intervals, you would actually need four Shabbosim, because you need three intervals of 7 days each. Whereas if you say it's going based on the day of the week, then three Shabbosim is enough. So now, if you were to say it gores every Tuesday, let's say, so would that mean that now it's not for Tuesdays? Well, there's no logical reason that Tuesday should be different than any other days. Maybe what it does is you're establishing an interval of 7 days. Every 7 days, it's always crazy. Fine, but in that case, you're going to need four Tuesdays before it becomes a mort. I mean, there's also, for example, let's say an animal gores on Sunday, on Monday, on Tuesday. It doesn't mean that it's only mort for Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. It's mort for the whole week now. Only when there's a logical reason, basically, to distinguish between days would we do that. Anyway, he continues, Amosai hu tam, at what point would the animal become a tam again? Mishiyasaba gimli me shabbosis, if it stops doing it on three successive shabbosis. And Mephoshim points out, why they ask Rabbi Yehuda and why Rabbi Yehuda is answering this. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who said earlier on Chaf Gimel, he said that an animal becomes a mord, you need 3 days in succession for it to become a mord. And when does it become a tam again? If for 3 days in succession it hasn't. So now Rabbi Yehuda is telling them, if it only gores on Shabbosim, the fact that it doesn't gore on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday is irrelevant. It has to not gore on Shabbosim, because that's what it's more for so far. So now there was a discussion of Amiroyim on our Mishnah. We had several cases in our Mishnah. We had Mord L'minoi, Ve'enim Mord L'sha'enim Minoi, Mord L'Odom, Ve'enim Mord L'Behema. Now there's two ways of reading the Mishnah. You can read it like the Girsa that we have in front of us. Ve'enoi, meaning that it's talking about, it's telling us the scenario. You have a case of an animal which is mu'ad to gore only its own kind, but not to gore other kinds. That's one way of understanding Mishnah. Or you could understand that the Mishnah is telling us in each case of din. If a shor is only muad l'minay, it is not considered muad l'she'enim. So in each of these cases, it's not just the ene muad l'she'enim minay, according to that way of looking at it, would not just be stating the fact that up until now it's not been muad, it's practically speaking, it hasn't gored other kinds of animals three times, it would be teaching us a din. It can be muad only l'minay and still not be muad l'she'enim minay.
So that's one, is a conditional
one of the conditional statements, yeah. The other one is a did.
Is it in an implication?
Yeah. That's going to drive the discussion now. Itma, Rav Zvid Amar Ve'enei Muad Tnan. Rav Zvid says that we learn the Mishnah the way we have it, Ve'enei Muad. So in each case, it's a continuation of the description. The shirt is Muad L'minoi and not Muad L'she'enei Minoi, etc. And then only at the end does it tell us the din, that whatever it's Muad for, you pay Nezek Shalom, and whatever it's not Muad for, you pay Chassi Nezek.
Meaning, it's Muad. The Enum Muad means what?
Means that we have not had three times yet that it's gored any other animal. Meaning, in other words, so Rashi says, for example, we know the Enum Muad would mean that we know for a fact it does not gore those other animals. Because, for example, every time it's seen an ox, it went and gored it. On the other hand, it's seen camels, and it's seen donkeys, and it's seen horses and whatnot, and never did anything. So therefore, so that's the Enum Muad L'she'enim. Rapapa says that no, we learn, in other words, according to Rav Zvid, the point is, if you don't have that, if you have, let's say, gored three oxen, but all this time it's never seen any other animals, there's no reason to assume it wouldn't be moored for those other animals as well. Presumably, it's moored for everything. Only if we see, practically speaking, that it has not, in fact, attacked other animals, then we can establish that it's moored for one, not moored for the other. As opposed to, according to Rapapa, I'm an ene moored. Rapapa is saying that the ene moored is telling us the din. Namely, just because the animal is moored for oxen doesn't matter whether it's seen other animals or not. Even if it has not seen any other animal in all this time, we still can assume it's moored only for oxen until we see that it starts attacking other animals as well. So that's the difference. In other words, so again, if you have this ox during the last 3 days, has seen oxen and every time he saw them, he gored. But he never saw any other animal. According to Rav Zvid, we would say, doesn't prove anything. As far as we know, he's moored also for horses and camels and what have you. He just hasn't seen any. According to Rav Papa, no. Until he starts attacking horses and camels and whatnot, we can't assume he's moored for that.
So according to Rav Zvid, he hasn't seen it, so he cannot be moored if he hasn't seen it.
But once he's gored oxen three times, and in other words, every time he saw an animal, he gored it, it happened to be that all those animals were oxen, at that point we can assume he's moored for everything. Only if he's seen other animals and not gored them, then we can establish that, okay, this ox evidently distinguishes between his own kind and other kinds.
According to Rav Zvid, he's moored to everything by default.
By default, right. And according to the Papa, no. By default, he's only moored for Mina, right.
One species.
Right.
So, and he has to prove that he's moored
on the other ones as well, right. Yeah.
How do they derive that from the...
Because it's how they would have it. Either the Mishnah is saying ve'enei muad, or the Mishnah is saying enei muad. If it says ve'enei muad as part of the description, that you have an animal which is muad l'minoi, the way we have the Mishnah printed in front of us says ve'enei muad. But they may have had different view sides. We find that another. I mean, the Mishnah was still, even if the Mishnah was written down then, and it's pretty controversial among the Rishonim whether the Mishnah had actually been written down at that time or whether it was still being learned orally. In general, it was learned orally. And there were slightly different gear sides floating even nowadays. Yeah, slightly different.
That's what we're talking about. That's the gear side.
The gear side, but the gear side drives what the discussion. Yeah. Okay, there is the Rashash wants to say maybe they're not actually arguing on the gear side, they're just arguing how you can understand the words of the Mishnah. Okay, whatever. Anyway.
How would you understanding the words of the Mishnah differently with the Mishnah?
With the habit.
Was worded the way it is. I'm not sure I would understand that.
Okay, you could still say Shulam Word Laminoi. We can still assume that the ainim word l'she'enim mina until we know different. Okay, it's a bit of a joke, but yeah. Okay, anyway. So Rav Zvid Amar ve'enim word tnan implying hastama have a word. Like you just said, by default we assume it's word for everything, unless we actually see that it saw other animals and didn't gore them. Rav Papa ainim word tnan, meaning the stama they have a word, meaning that by default we assume it's not word for other animals unless we see that it actually starts attacking them. So, how do they each learn it? Rav Zvid Dayak Misefer, or Papa Dayak Mereisha. Rav Zvid uses the language of the Sefer of the Mishnah to prove that that's what the Mishnah must mean, that Ve'enei Muad. And Rav Papa looks at the beginning of the Mishnah and says you can prove from the Lashon over there that it's supposed to be Enei Muad. namely as follows. Rav Zvi Dayak Misefer, because any mood like Tanim ve any mood like Dirt. The Mishnah had mentioned a case that the animal, the shur is moored to Gur Ktanim, again, like Rashi said, small animals, smaller, younger animals, like calves, and not moored to Gur older animals. Well, wait, that's what we still have to figure out. Again, Rav Zvi and Rav Papa are arguing whether it's Einoi moored or Ve'einoi moored. Again, the Mishnah is telling us a statement of fact that this particular animal we know in the past seen calves and gored them, but it's seen older animals and never gored them. Therefore, we know that more of the calves, but if it never saw older animals, we have no way of knowing. Or is it that as long as all it gored was calves, we can assume it's only more of the calves until we know otherwise? But the point is, the point is, Rav Zvid figures as follows. Iyam b'shlemer ve'enei moored katani. If you say that the word is supposed to be ve'enei moored, again, that's descriptive, hafdame have a moored, meaning, but if I've never seen older animals all this time, all it's been seeing is baby animals and goring them, and therefore under that circumstances, we would assume that it is moored, ha'kamash malan, then that's the chiddush of that part of the Mishnah. That's the limit. Tanim l'gdolim nami m'stame have a moored. That even when it comes to younger versus older animals, still if all this time it's been seeing only small animals, only calves and goring them, and it just never happens to have seen any older ones, therefore it didn't have a chance to gore them. Okay, if you say that way, then
so you say in other words that if he's more for small ones, more in general.
Unless it hasn't seen any other one. Unless it's seen other
right.
ones and not right.
The presumption is
that once it's done tanim, it's automatically from
any species, more in general.
No. Yeah.
Unless underwater.
Right. So in other words, Rav Zvid is saying, so fine, if you learn the Mishnah that way, then that's the point. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. That even if all it's been goring is ketanim, nevertheless we assume that it would also attack dolim given the chance, and therefore that's moored for them. Eli amet enim moored ketani. But if you say, like Rav Papa is saying, that the words of the Mishnah are supposed to be enim moored, meaning that it's telling us a din, if the animal has been moored ketanim so far, it is not considered moored like dolim, regardless whether it's seen them or not. Then you have to ask. Why don't we make kavah chomer? Yesh loimim matanim d'alma stama lehavim moored. Look, I mean, the Mishnah is implying that if it's between small animals of one species and small animals of another species, it doesn't become moored or automatically being moored on one doesn't automatically make it moored on the other.
It's obvious.
That's the point. Matanim legolim tzrichalim emer lehavim moored. Why would it even need to tell us? Not really a kavachomer, but once we establish already that being moored for one species does not automatically make it moored for others.
Excludes it from another species. Yes. Proven otherwise.
Right. So then why would the Mishnah have to, that's what Zvid is saying. If you look at the words of the Mishnah, why would the Mishnah have to be telling us, again, the same kind of thing when it comes to Kanim and Jerusalem?
You could say parallelism. We said it previously.
Yeah, but the parallelism, but it's not really a matter of parallelism over here. You have several cases. Parallelism is where in one part of the Mishnah, let's say it mentioned a case which is Chayev, and then for parallelism it mentions another case which is Potter, even though there's no Chiddush in it, let's say. Here you have the Mishnah is mentioning distinct cases. Mino she'enim, Adam behemah, Ketanim v'dolim. There's no parallelism in there. It's just different disjoint cases.
Okay.
There'd be no reason to mention Ketanim and Dolim if the Mishnah has already established the principle that across species, it can't become automatically moored for one by being moored for the other.
Are you saying?
So if you say ve'enei moored, then that's the chiddush. You should know that you can have a case. Ordinarily, if it's moored l'ktanim, you would assume it's moored l'gdolim. However, should it happen that it happens to be only moored l'ktanim, but we know definitively that it's not moored l'gdolim, because when it's seen dolim, it hasn't moored them. Okay, then you have nezek shalom for the tanim and chati nezek for the gdolim. So there would be a chiddush in it. In other words, the chiddush that in each of these cases we say it's possible to be moored for one and not moored for the other. It's possible for an animal to be moored for small, for calves, and not for full-grown animals. Yeah, that's the point. That's Rav Zvid's point. Yeah.
And
otherwise,
if you want for one, you for all.
Well, Rav Zvid is saying, in other words, right, why would the Mishnah have had to mention Ketanim versus Dolim? According to the Papa, according to the Papa's understanding, that the Mishnah is trying to tell us that if you're moored to one, you're not automatically moored to the other. Fine, we would already understand that from the fact that I mentioned Mina and Sha'in and Mina, and other than there'd be no reason to mention a third case. Therefore, as it says, you must say that they're that in order to say why the Mishnah needs three cases is because in each of them, the Mishnah has to tell us that it is possible to be moored, that it's possible to be moored l'mina and at the same time not be moored l'sha'en mina, namely seeing other animals of sha'en mina and not moored them.
Just by one case.
No, because you would think, okay, Mina and Sha'ini Mina, fine, you know, an animal is logically going to, not logically, whatever, an animal normally is only going to attack its own time.
Not within a mean.
Yeah, exactly, that's what we're saying. Yeah. So therefore, sort of Zvid says, based on that argument, you have to say it's Sha'ini. Rapapa would answer to you that no, the fact is you do need the case of Tanim versus Gerlim, because you might think, once the animal is already paras, like it's already attacking, paras literally means like it broke through. Like it's normally an animal doesn't attack other animals. So in this case it's already broken through, it's already violated the kind of thing that animals normally do. Bahumina, once it violated that norm when it comes to that mean, parase, you would think already it's considered automatically that it's now going to attack any one of that mean, loishan of gerlim didei, loishan of kanim didei, maybe the attacker should not be a difference between big and small. Therefore, no, the Mishnah does have to tell us that the Mishnah still does have to tell us, according to the Papa, again, that yes, not only across species, or between people and animals, but even within the same species, if it's more b'ktanim, that does not automatically make it more b'gzerim.
Within a species.
Within a species, yeah.
Because you can assume that there's two ways of seeing it. It's outside a species, you could be exclusive and inclusive inside a species, or you could say outside the species, you're exclusive, as well as inside the species, it could be also exclusive.
Kind of. I mean, so what Rav Zvid is arguing is if the Mishnah already told us that once it's moored for one species, it's not necessarily moored for another, then logically, yeah, I mean, you would know automatically from that the same thing with small and large animals within the same species. Whereas Rav Papa would argue the other way around, that no, you would think an animal was less likely to distinguish between one species, and therefore, yeah. So that's Rav Zvid. Rav Papa Dayak Mireshe. Rav Papa finds his diuk by looking at the beginning of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah had mentioned that the second case of the Mishnah is that an animal that's moored to gore people, according to the Girsa we have in the Mishnah, which was Rav Zvid's understanding, is that it's moored for people, but not moored for animals, namely we know it's seen animals and never gored them, it only gored people. Again, as opposed to the Papa, his understanding that it means he gored people, it never came into contact with other animals, so we don't know what it would do with animals. And nevertheless, we can assume it's not more for them.
When it says that, automatically assumes that it's also...
That it's also more for, yeah. So the Papa says like this, it's only more l'adam and more l'behema. He says, "Iyam b'shleima einin muad tnan." If you say that the Mishnah is saying einin muad, meaning stam alay having muad, meaning by default we assume that just because it's muad for people, it's not muad for animals. How come Ashmal? And the Mishnah is telling us a chiddush. Da'afilum adam l'behema, nami stam alay having muad. Even if it's already good people, and now you would think automatically that means it should be ready to attack animals as well. As we learned way back at the beginning of the Sefta, people have mazel, either we said over there, they have das to protect themselves, or they have a malach protecting them, whatever. If an animal is already attacking people, it means it's much wilder, you would think, much wilder than even the average attacking animal, that it's already going so far as to attack people. Nevertheless, the Mishnah would be telling us a chiddush that even in that case, you don't automatically assume it's more for animals, unless it hasn't seen any animals. Eliyam, the Einim Mord Katani, but if you're going to say the Mishnah is telling us the Einim Mord, it's just telling us the fact that he's moored for people, but even though it's seen animals, it hasn't gored them, Hastama have a Mord, implying, but if it hadn't seen any other animals, you would think it's Mord. What does the Mishnah need to tell us? Hashti Yeshlema, Behem, Lahem, Hastama have a Mord. If the Mishnah were implying that once it gored one type of animal, by default, we assume it's Mord for all the others, which is what Rav Zvid is saying. Yeah, what would be the chiddush? If it gored people, where it's much more aggressive even than a normal show mord, why would it, yeah, how much more so that
it's species also?
Yeah.
You could still say that even though it attacks other people, it could not necessarily attack its own species.
It could, but again, based on the understanding, based on what we said at the beginning of the Masechta, that Adam is like Malva and Behemoth does not, the odds are much more likely that if an animal is going to attack, it's going to attack other animals. And not just attack, remember we're talking about killing them.
It could,
but it's much less likely, especially, I mean, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, based on the Pasuk in Noach, that the Marach and Bechit Kamiyah, that normally animals are afraid of people.
But the fact that
it went so far to attack a person, you would think, yeah. Okay. We're talking about domestic animals, yeah. I mean, even wild animals normally, without provocation, are not going to. Well, without provocation, they're still not usually going to attack. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Again, without provocation. Okay. Whatever. Vid of zvid amalach. Whereas of zvid, sort of zvid would answer to that amalach. Reisha achazara. Your zvid would answer true, but you should know the first part of the Mishnah is actually not talking about what it takes for the animal to be moored. The first part of the Mishnah is actually teaching us a different din about chazara. That. What does it take for an animal to return to being a town? Namely, if you're going to have a moored l'adam, a moored l'behema, suppose that this animal, Rav Zvid says, is so far moored for people and for animals. Meaning, so whenever it's seen people, it's gored them. Whenever it saw animals, it's gored them. V'hadu baby behema. Now it went back, it did tshuva, so to speak, for goring animals, in the sense that the koi gabi behema gimel. Now it was by other animals three times and did not gore. Maud came up, and now you would think, given that it still hasn't gone back on its wild ways as far as people, it's still goring people, you would think, maybe this that it's not attacking animals anymore doesn't mean anything. Maybe it should still be considered muad for animals as well. That would be, no, that's what Rav Zvid would say. Now when the Mishnah is saying, muad la'adam, the Ene Mord LaBehema is teaching us like this. Ordinarily, yes, if it's Mord LaAdam, automatically it's Mord LaBehema, unless we know otherwise. But if you have, it was Mord LaAdam VaLaBehema. Now it's not acting as Mord LaBehema anymore, then yes, it is possible for it to be Mord LaAdam VaEne Mord LaBehema. That's the equivalent of it as if all this time it's never been attacking animals. It goes back to being a Tam as far as animals and remains a Mord as far as attacking people. And now, according to the Zvid, that is the Chiddush of that part of the Mishnah. Okay. The Gemara says Meisvi. Fine. I have a contradiction. To the Zvid. A Braita says Sumchus Omer Moored LaAdam Moored LaBehem Mekavachomer. An animal is moored to people, then it's moored to gore animals based on a Kavachomer. Well, Malo Adam Moored LaBehem LaKoshkin. If it's moored to people, and again, it's much less likely to attack.
How do you say that it's not?
No, that's the point. The behemoth like Holstein, how much more so that it should be moored for animals, right? Mikval the Tanakama, ene moored karma. Implying, if Sumchus has to point that out, that implies that the Tanakama must be saying ene moored. The Tanakama must be saying it's moored for people. That does not, in and of itself, automatically make it moored for animals. So according to the Papa, fine.
That's what applies meaning for animals.
Again, according to the Papa's understanding of the mission, ene moored. Just because it's moored for people, just because it's gored people three times, does not tell us anything about what it would do with animals. If we let it out into the street and it sees animals and starts goring them, doesn't show that all this time it would have gored the animals if it had a chance. No, we assume that now all of a sudden it's going crazy as far as animals as well, and you need three times to establish that. As opposed to, according to this vid, the Mishnah is telling us once it's moored for people, it's automatically moored for animals unless all this time we see that it hasn't been attacking animals, or again, like what Zvid just said as far as Chazara, unless we see that three times it's seen animals and not attacked them.
So the question is,
if Sumchus finds it necessary to point out that once an animal is moored for Adam, it's automatically moored for Behema, that implies that the Tanakama, who we argue against, the Tana of our Mishnah, would be saying that once you're moored for animals, you're automatically moored for people. Once you're moored for people, you're automatically moored for people. The Tanakama would be saying you're not. That just because you're moored for people, you're not automatically moored for animals. And Sumchus would be disagreeing with that. According to the Papa, then, that's exactly what the Mishnah is saying. According to the Zvid, how does that fit with the Mishnah? The answer is, Amalach Rav Zvid, Sumchus HaChazorikoi. Sumchus is also talking about what it takes for the animal to not be a moored anymore. Just like he explained the part of the Mishnah, so he's explaining the Braisa of Sumchus. Rahakikamalei, meaning Rahakamalei the Tanakama, namely, he explains, Sumchus is telling the Tanakama as follows. You're telling me that, again, if the animal has been attacking people and animals indiscriminately, and now it stopped attacking animals, you're arguing it goes back to being the town as far as animals and remains a mort as far as people, chazorah meaning going back on its ways, yeah, on its wild ways, yeah. So you're saying that in that case, that's considered chazorah. I will tell you, Simcha says, no, chazorah de behemah lav chazorah. No, just remaining calm in the presence of animals is not considered chazara at all. It still remains a mord as far as animals. It's not attacking animals anymore. Fine, but we still have mekava chayma me'adam. Uma me'adam like kohadar bay. Madach, it has not really reneged on attacking people, because it's still attacking people whenever it has a chance. Lebehema, mebehema like kolchkin. How much more so? It hasn't really reneged on attacking other animals. Okay, it hasn't temporarily, it took a break from attacking other animals.
What's kolchkin? Because if it does it to people, it does it to animals.
Because if it does it to people, if it's aggressive enough to attack people, then it will still be normal. We would assume it's still aggressive enough to attack animals. For a day or two, it hasn't. For a couple of days, it hasn't been attacking animals. Okay, it took a break.
But there's no.
Sumchos would argue there's no chazara. So yeah.
What brings the chazara?
According to Sumchos, it would have to be that it was chazer from attacking people. Then that would make it no longer more for people. And eventually, it can also become eventually the same thing. It can eventually become tam as far as other animals as well. That stops attacking them for 3 days. Well, we actually had the opinion of a mayor earlier in the Masechta that once children are playing with it and it doesn't gore, then it's gone back to being tam. Yeah. So according to Rabbi, you can explain the whole machloek of that. Amar Ravashi Toshma. Come, let's bring a proof from the continuation of our Mishnah. Amru lifnei Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda's Talmidim asked him, "Hareza mord l'Shabbos esvein mord l'Yimayisachol." What if you have an animal that's only been moored to gore on Shabbos and not on weekdays? Amru lahem, so he says to him, "L'Shabbos is Shalom nezek Shalom, l'Yimayisachol Shalom chatzi nezek." As we said in the Mishnah. Now let's consider how this part of the Mishnah would work according to the Rabbi's version or according to the Papa's version. If you say that the earlier parts of the Mishnah and also presumably this part are using the word ve'enei mu'ad, then we understand. They're asking him a scenario. Suppose that there's the sefer, the last part of the Mishnah. Well, throughout the Mishnah, but also in the sefer, also in this question and answer between Rabbi Yehuda and his Talmidim. If they're saying ve'enei mu'ad, then it makes sense. They're asking him a question. Suppose an animal is moored for Shabbos, it's ve'enei moored l'yemotachot. All this time on weekdays, it's never gored. Therefore, we know automatically that it's tame on yemotachot. What happens then? And he answers them. So they're asking him. They're asking him a question. And he answers them. Yes, as a matter of fact, that yes, you would say nezek shalom for Shabbos, chati nezek for weekdays. So that works according to his vid. Eliyamis ve'enei moored katani. But if the Mishnah is saying ve'enei moored, like the Papa says. What do you mean? And they're saying, Mord l'Shabbos, we want to inform you that ain't in Mord l'Chol. What do you mean? Mord l'Chol, I'm the Gamri. What are they trying to teach the Rebbe of Yehuda Adin? That's not how it should go. And then what would he be answering them? He's just repeating what they're saying. Mord l'Shabbos, you should know, ain't in Mord l'Chol. We assume once the fact that it's Mord for Shabbos, by default, even if it's never been allowed out of the house on weekdays, we assume it's not Mord for weekdays. And he answers them, yeah, exactly. So we consider it Mord for Shabbos, not him. He's not teaching. And it sounds like they're trying to teach him a din. That's not how the Mishnah would work. So necessarily, at least in that case, you have to say that the Mishnah is saying, ve'enei Mord. In that case, then it should be the same throughout the Mishnah, which supports Rav Zvid's version, but not Rav Papa's.
You say, ain't no Mord, it doesn't.
Then it does, the whole question and answer doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's the U.S.
Ve'enei Mord, which is Rav Zvid.
Which is the safe
part. Well, throughout the Mishnah, then.
Yeah.
Amar Rav Yanai. Actually, you don't even need the last. You actually don't even need the last part of the Mishnah. You can prove actually from the earlier part of the Mishnah that the wording should really be ve'enei mord. Dikatani esher mord le'mishalom nezek shalom ve'esheni mord le'mishalom chati nezek. The Mishnah had said once it mentioned the three cases mina and she'ene mina odom and then behema tanim and golem. The Mishnah summarized and said whatever it's mord for you pay nezek shalom, whatever it's not mord for you pay chati nezek. So he amet v'shalem ve'enei mord katani. If the previous parts of the Mishnah were all using the word ve'enei mord, then Kodesh should come a potter slate. So now the Mishnah, having given us three scenarios, now tells us the din. The din that applies in all those cases. El yamit ene mor tosani. But if you say like a papa, that the word is ene mor, paska. So the Mishnah has already told us the din in each of these cases. Mord la adam, mord la minoi, is not mor, is not, the din is that it's not mor, the she'en in. And automatically we would understand, not alone. Nezek shalom for the one, chati nezek for the other. You don't do it yet. My two, esh mord la mishalom, nezek shalom, v'eshen mord la mishalom, chati nezek. What? Ad hash to layashmin and the hash to mishalom chati nezek, that time mishalom chati nezek and more mishalom nezek shalom. What? Have we not known until now that there's nezek shalom for more and chati nezek for a time? So that the Mishnah, the wording of the Mishnah itself seems to fit better, much better if you say the ain't more like the Zvid and not ain't more like the Father. What? Okay. The im tim saloyim nami is the papa. However, even let's say we do want to say, despite all those questions, let's say we do want to say we can somehow answer the Mishnah according to the papa, then you should know. I will tell you again. Nagach shor chamor v'gamol. Let's say the animal were to gore one ox, one donkey, and one camel. Not the mor lato. Then in that case, it would become a mor for all of them. You don't need that, for example, you don't need it to gore three oxen or three donkeys or whatever. If it gored three different species, then that would be enough to establish it as a moor. The Rambam and the Rivan, by the way, argue on that point. Does it mean now that the moor, the Rambam says still it's a moor only for those three species? The Rivan says no, once it's a moor for those three, it's a moor for everything. Yeah.
Why? Specifically three?
Because those are the only ones that we have ages so far that are intact. So fine, you don't need three times for each one because we see it's obviously not picky. But maybe it's only picky among those three. Therefore, the Rambam holds you can't necessarily say it's more to attack other types of animals, and the Naivet would say yes. So who is the halacha like between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa? Well, the Gemara is going to continue the discussion over here. Well, so far, I mean, the wording of the Mishnah seems to fit better according to Rav Zvid. However, most of the Rishonim pass like Rav Papa, because for one thing, because the Rabbi Hanano points out, the Gemara just set up here the imtim saloimer nami hisavu Rav Papa. We have a general rule that when the Gemara says the imtim saloimer, it means to establish that after halacha. Yeah. So the fact that the Gemara uses the word imtim
saloimer will also be like Rav Papa when it's more logical. It should be like Rav Zvid.
Okay, so the wording of the Mishnah fits better according to Rav Zvid, but it's not an insurmountable kasha on that matter.
The Gemara seems to very strongly point that they are like Rav Zvid, not
Rav. No, it's pointing out that the lashon of the Mishnah is very hard to understand according to the Papa. It doesn't mean that the din might not still be a din. Besides that, also, because of its intim saloimer, and second of all, because the Gemara is going to continue, the Gemara is going to be continuing with a number of questions. On the assumption that just because an animal is moored for one species or one time or whatever doesn't automatically make it moored for the other, which fits better with Rav Papa. There is a Tosfos talk about the possibility that maybe these questions can work according to Rav Zvid as well, but it's more straightforward to understand them primarily according to Rav Papa. Yeah. Turn it up on. What happens if the animal has, it saw one shur and got it, another one and it didn't, a third shur and it did, a fourth it didn't, a fifth it did, a sixth it didn't, so every other shur, nasa mu'ad, l'sirug and l'shvarim, so now it becomes mu'ad, that it will gore every other shur that it sees. So therefore, Rashi points out, now if it were at some point to gore two oxen in succession.
The question is it more or not?
That's the point. So now it's more for every even number, it's more for every odd numbered animal, and it's time for every even numbered animal. So now if it were after it's gone through five and six, it didn't gore number five, it didn't gore number six. If now it gores number seven and number eight, number seven will be more and high nezik shalim. Number eight will be chati nezik because it's an unusual thing. The owner didn't know. He has to watch out around show number eight.
Can't you say that it was more for even numbers, and then automatically it becomes what?
You still need three times, though. You still need three times. Now, Tosfos does discuss. Tosfos does discuss that
more than non-more.
Fine, but it's still partially Mu'ad and partially non-Mu'ad.
Three
is also Taf, because it didn't say Vid. So that, I was going to say, Tosfos discusses the coin of this Vid, you might have to say that according to this Vid, you can distinguish, did it actually see other animals in between? When we say, for example, gourd number one didn't gourd number two, we're not necessarily talking about, it saw show number 200 feet away. It's not like it could have gourded. We're talking about they were all in close proximity, and gourd every other one, I'll say. So, but you could still talk about according to this Vid, if it saw other animals in between, and Taka didn't gourd them, that would be the kind of case that the Braita is talking about, that it's more lucidity, as opposed to if it didn't see, means every other one. As opposed to if it didn't see any other ones, not necessarily. I mean, if it was only in close proximity to number 1, 3, and 5, and it saw 2, 4, and 6 only from a distance, according to the Vid we established before, that would be enough to make it more than 4 or 6 of them. Because it would have attacked 2, 4, and 6 if it had a chance to.
If it saw 1, 3, and
5. If it was next to 1, 3, and 5 and gored them, and it saw 2, 4, and so again, it saw one next to it and gored it. It saw another one 100 feet away and didn't gore it. Fine, but it couldn't know it was 100 feet away. Sees number 3 gorged it, number 4 is also far away, 5 close, number 6 far away. According to the Vid, that wouldn't be reason enough to say that it's only moored for every odd number one. We would say it's moored for all of them, and it just didn't have a chance to attack the other one. That's what Tosfos discusses. According to the Vid, you would have to say that. Whereas, again, according to the Papa, it wouldn't matter. Turn it up on. Roshur Nogach, Hamur Loi Nogach. Now, what happens in another case, let's say? The animal saw an ox and gored it. Then it saw a donkey and it didn't. And didn't gore it. Sus nagah gamal lo nagah. It saw a horse and it gored it. It saw a camel and it didn't gore it. Pered nagah aroid lo nagah. It saw a mule and gored it. And then it saw an aroid, a wild donkey, and didn't gore it. Not the muad, with sirugin lakur. Now we have yet another kind of muad. It's a muad for every other one for all species. Again, you'd have to say machloek with Rambam and the Raivet, whether it's only for the three species that it gored or whether it's all of them. So the point is that here you have a hybrid of the two kinds of things that we talked about before. You have that it's only limited, that you have either that it's across all species according to the Raivet, or only these three species according to the Rambam, but only every other one of whatever of these species that it sees. And again, Tosfos talks about that the difference about whether it saw other animals in between them. Now they had a question. Nagach shur shur v'shur chamur v'gamal. What happens if this animal gored one ox, another ox, a third ox, then it gored a donkey, and then it gored a camel? Now, Hi shur basra basa shvarim shadinim lay. Do we say the third time it gored the shur joins up with the two previous shur shvarim? Va'akati v'shvarim hu diyad l'midya achrin l'lo yiyad. Therefore, we would say now it's only moored as far as oxen, but still not as far as donkeys or camels, unless it gores some other animal. Or maybe we say the last shur goes together with the chamur and gomel, and then he'll be moored for all three types, so according to the Raivet, for all types. Okay, what about the other way?
We say that they for all types.
Again, according to the Raivet, it would be all types, because the fact is he did gore three different animals. In other words, if it hadn't gored the first two shvarim, we said before, if it only gored one shur, one chamur, one gomor, we said it's more of lakoil, and according to the Raivet, it means all species, and according to the Rambam, only those three. Does the fact that there were two shvarim before that, does that make it only more of the shvarim, and now we still have to see what's going to, now with the chamur and gomor, it's still a tam as far as them, unless it also gores, and unless it also goes and gores another a mule or what have you, then it'll be.
Well, that's a question. Can he be more for two different species?
Not can he be more, obviously it can be more for two different species at the same time. That was implicit in the Mishnah. No, we're talking about that, again, it gored five times, but there's two different ways of looking at it. You can say that you focus on the first three, it gored three oxen, therefore it's a moored only for oxen. Later on, one time it gored a chamur, one time it gored a gomel. That doesn't make it moored for chamur and gomelim yet. Or we could say you ignore the first two shvarim, you focus on it, did shur, chamur, and gomel. Therefore it's moored for all three species, or all species.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the two different ways of looking at it.
Who says one and who says the other?
It's not. The Gemara is asking the question. The Gemara is asking the question, what would be the din? And how about the other way around? Chamur v'gomel, shur v'shur. What about if it was the other way around? What if it first gored an ox? What about if it first gored a donkey and a camel, and then three oxen in succession? What would be the din? Hi, sure, camel bus, hummer, and gomel should in a levy. Yeah, it's like a cooler mini. Again, do we put that first sure together with the hummer and gomel, meaning at that point it becomes muad for all species, and therefore the fact that it did two more shvarim doesn't add to it being muad? Or a jomel bus, a shvarim should in a levy. Or maybe once we see that it gored numbers 3, 4, and 5 were all shvarim, maybe that establishes a pattern. It's only muad the shvarim. Maybe we would say then that's not more for the other species yet. And Tosfos points out there is a chiddush in the second question because in the first case you have in the first case you have that the two things are sort of the two ways of looking at it, the two ways of what you put the shur with, kind of in a certain sense they sort of lead to the same thing. Are you putting the shur, you know, you put the, you either consider the shur part of the previous sequence or you consider it the beginning of a new sequence. Whereas here it's the other way around. If you consider hamur, gomel, and shur to be one sequence, or you consider shur to be a different sequence, it leads you in opposite direction. How about another case? Shabbos. What if the ox gored three times on Shabbos, and then on Sunday, and then on Monday? Mahu. Ha Shabbos basraisa bot the Shabbos or the Shadin lay. Do we say that we put together that last Shabbos together with the two previous ones? That after the Shabbos would be yai li mosachol lo yai, and in that case, it's only more for Shabbos and not for weekdays, because it's only gored twice on weekdays then. Ojoma. Or maybe we put that Shabbos together with the Sunday and the Monday, especially the Shittim Kabetis points out, you know, there's a logical reason to distinguish that from the previous cases, because Shabbos is adjacent to Sunday and Monday. It's far away from the previous, it's much further away from the previous Shabbos, yeah. And then it would come out, it did Shabbos, Sunday, and Monday. There's no reason to think that Sunday and Monday are different than any other day. More for all days of the week then, because the Mele had gored only on Shabbos. We said on Omer Aleph, Rashi's and Tosfos reason to logically distinguish Shabbos from weekdays. But if it gored on Shabbos, Sunday, and Monday, it doesn't mean it's only more for Shabbos, Sunday, and Monday. It would mean it's more for all time. So the fact that there's two previous Shabbos, then what does that do to it? And again, you can ask the same way the other way around. Hey, the Shabbos, the Erev Shabbos, the Shabbos, Shabbos, the Shabbos, Mahu. Again, what about the other way around? If it gored on Thursday, then Friday, and then three successive Shabbos. Again, you have the same kind of question. Do we put the first Shabbos together with the previous Thursday and Friday? Therefore, and now it's more, therefore, for all days, because it's done 3 days in succession. Or maybe we put that first Shabbos together with the previous, together with the later Shabbosim, or Shabbosim, and now it's only more Shabbosim.
But it's 7 days afterwards.
Okay, it can be 7 days afterwards, but nevertheless, now that it has a pattern of doing Shabbosim, does that mean that that's a pattern that it has more only for Shabbos? The Thursday and Friday were a fluke. It's more for Shabbos, but it's not more for weekdays. And in all these cases, So what are we passing? So what do you have? In all these cases, then basically the question is, for example, let's take the last case, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. The question is more for weekdays? We know it's more for Shabbos. We know at least it's more for Shabbos, because for sure, no matter how you look at it, either it's more for all days or it's only more for Shabbos. We're not sure about the rest of the days of the week. So taking that as an example, the Rambam Paskin, he's entitled to Chati Nezek. For Shabbos, obviously, he's entitled to Nezek Shalom. For the weekdays, he's entitled to Chati Nezek, because no matter what, however you look at it, he's entitled to that. If he's Tofus, Nezek Shalom, again, if he grabs a hold of the ox, let's say, or some other Nechasim, or whatever, as we talked about before, when it comes to Tvisa, if he grabs a hold, if he has in his possession some Nechasim of the Mazik, and claims on that basis, I'm entitled to Nezek Shalom, you can't take it away from him, because again, he's Mukhtar, the other guy would have to be you have to have Edom no matter what, but we're talking about now, if the Nizik is Tofus, Nezek Shalom, if the Mazik wanted to get half of it back, he would have to prove that the Halacha is that the animal is not moored for weekdays. And how is he going to prove it? If it's the Gemara itself, what's it going to say to you? So, yeah. So that, in general, with Dini Momenus, that's usually what we say when something is taken. It means you're not entitled to it, or you're entitled to whatever the minimum amount is.
You've got to go and just grab the animal.
It will encourage the Mazik to take care of and make sure that his animal doesn't damage in the first place, or to hide it away if it does. I don't know. How about another case? Nogachshur yom tesvav b'chodesh zev yom tesayin b'chodesh zev yom yudzayin b'chodesh zev. What happens if the shur gourd on the 15th of Nisan, the 16th of Iyar, and the 17th of Sivan? So what happens then? That would be plugged to the Rav Shmuel. That would actually depend on a machlokas Rav and Shmuel that we find in connection with a vest. So we know a woman has, when it comes to a woman's nida period, there's a vest kavua, there's a concept of a vest kavua. Where if there's a certain pattern to when her nidus comes, then we assume that only on that day. This is negeya, by the way. Nowadays it's negeya for Taras Mishpacha. In the times when they had Parah Aduma ashes and when everyone, when people were careful on Dinyan Tuma Matara, it had another implication also. No, a nidah is a tam anything that she touches. When you get down to it, a nidah, let's say, one day a woman checks and finds that she started bleeding. The din is she actually becomes tameh as soon as the blood leaves her womb. But it may take time from when it leaves her womb until it's actually visible on the outside of her body. How do we know then how far back she's tameh? So the Gemara discusses the first Mishnah in Nidah, the first couple of Mishnayot in Nidah, and the Gemara on it have a long, extensive discussion on it, where there's a multi-way machlokas on it, Shammai versus Hillel versus the other Chachamim, etc. The halacha is that basically what we do is we go back to her last bedikah or 24 hours, whichever is shorter. So we assume there's a maximum of 24 hours from when that blood left the womb until it's actually visible on a pad or what have you. So therefore,
it doesn't take 24 hours
to flow out, obviously, but it might be it came out, if they stopped there or whatever, it was only one drop or whatever, and it takes time, so whatever. Okay, whatever. But inside her body, maybe doesn't talk. Whatever. Let's not get into that. Okay, in a few years, when we're almost at the end of the Dafyomi cycle, when we learn Masechta Nidah, we'll talk about it at great length.
It has to be pure blood, or it can be mixed with.
As long as it's got one of the five colors that it talks about over there in Nidah, then that's not good. Anyway, whatever. Let's not get too much into the details of that. The point is that if she has a vest, if she has a regular time when she knows that her period is expected to come, then we say daya shaita. We're not the time of her 24 hours in advance because we can assume that she taka didn't start bleeding until the time that she expects for it to come. So therefore,
daya
shaita means it's enough to make her tummy when she actually sees the blood, not to go 24 hours back. So again, so the concept of a vest is important for that, and it's important nowadays for Taras Mishpacha because when a woman is expecting her period, then she and her husband have to separate for that day or night, as the case may be. So how do we apply this? So you have a machloekus of Rav and Shmuel on this topic. The Isma Rasa Yom Tesvav B'Chodesh Zev Yom Tzayin B'Chodesh Zev Yom Yudzayin B'Chodesh Zev. Suppose a woman has her period on the 15th of one month, the 16th of the next month, the 17th of the third month. Rav Amakovel a vest. The Rav says at that point that is considered a vest kavua. At that point, we have it established. We know, therefore, the next month she can expect her period on the 18th, and the month after that on the 19th. So there is actually the Rabbi Hanano actually understands it differently. He says that it would mean that from now on, the pattern is going to be 15, 16, and 17. So it's going to be, it started out 15, Nisan, 16, Iyar, 17, Sivan. Rabbi Hanano learns, Rashba quotes him as saying that now it'll have to be 15th of Tammuz, 16th of Av, 17th of Elul, etc.
And again,
15, 16, 17, as opposed to most other poskim, most other Rishonim and Achronim understand that it means it'll each time be a month and a day, 18, 19, 20, etc. Which, by the way, I mean, Tosfos points out, when you get down to it, you know, some months are 29 days, some months are 30 days. Doesn't matter. It's not the number of days. It's the day of the month. The Ramban, actually, the Ramban has been...
Yeah,
that's a different kind. There's many different kinds of vestas that it talks about in your day. There's all kinds. So the Ramban Taka has a bit of a problem with that, because Taka, why should it be sometimes a lesser number of days and sometimes a greater number? Okay, actually the Gemara in Nidah itself sort of talks about that as far as in connection with whether it comes on the Shlodish or not. But if it's during the month, okay. So he Taka learns that we have to say maybe we're talking about when all the months are equal length. If they're not equal length, then yeah, it would be very important. Anyway, whatever, that's not the point. The point is, Rav says that's enough, three times is already enough to establish the vest. Or Shmuel Amachit Shalish Bedilu. Shmuel would say that no, you need three equal intervals. So it's not enough. You need to have the 15th of Nisan doesn't count because it wasn't before any interval. You need from the 15th of Nisan to the 16th of Iyar is one interval. 16th of Iyar to 17th of Sivan is a second interval. That's not enough to establish a vest of war. Yeah, you need three times. So she needs to have one more time on the 18th of Tammuz, and then she has a vest of war. So similarly over here, this Shur, Gord, on the 15th of Nisan, 16th of Iyar, 17th of Tammuz, 17th of Sivan, you'd have the same machlok. At the point of Rav, that's already, he's already a Muad, and if he gores on the 18th of Tammuz, he'll already be Chayiv Nezek Shalim. And according to Shmuel, when he gores on the 18th of Tammuz, he'll still be a Tam, and only when he gores on the 19th of Av will he be a Muad. Yeah. Tosfos, by the way, discusses over here that this is where it's going from one month to another, each one on one day later. If it was always on the same day of the month, it was always the 15th of the month, let's say, then everybody would agree that three times is enough. Yeah, because then you're not really going based on intervals, then you're going based on the day of the month.
Then it's fixed.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Who the halacha is like, by the way, becomes an interesting thing. Usually we say the halacha is like Rab in things of Issa Beheter, and the halacha is like Shmuel and Dini Mamonos. Here you have a matter of Issa Beheter, which is Nida, and a matter of Mamonos, the Shur. Who is the halacha like?
In
our case, right? So there are Rishonim on all sides of the question. The Baal Amor, for example, says, yeah, when it comes to Nida, we'll pass him like Rab. When it comes to the Shur, we'll pass him like Shmuel. Most other Rishonim, though, say, no, we've got to be consistent. So the Rosh talks about that since the primary machlokas is by Nida, and only based on that we're learning out the case for sure, then the halacha must be like Rav in both cases. On the other hand, the Rambam passing like Shmuel in both cases. That you need Shalosh Bedilu. No, because either he would learn that the primary machlokas is by Shur, or he would say that Mefoshim also talk about there might be a reason to distinguish between intervals of days versus intervals of animals. Before, when he said, it saw number one it gored, number two it didn't, three it did, four it didn't. Everybody agrees you only need three times there, because there might be a difference between intervals with animals where it sees every other animal and gored versus when you're talking about an interval of X number of days. Amar Rava, another din. Shamak, this is what you were mentioning before about a shofar. Shamak tel shofar v'nagach tel shofar v'nagach tel shofar v'nagach. What if the animal here is a shofar blowing three times, and each time it gores? Not the more of the shofar. So it becomes a more that every time it hears a shofar, it's going to gore. That's just pshita. And isn't that obvious? And so it's ma'ud atem, a half shofar kama, siyot v'almu. You might argue the first time it heard the shofar, it's just all of a sudden it had a sudden fright. Did not say that grabbed a hold of it. Meaning you can't say that you need four. Maybe the first time it's just okay, it got nervous. And you can't say that it's part of developing a pattern.
We never said that we need four times.
Well, that's what we're saying. Kamash Malon, that's what he's saying, that we don't take that into consideration. We do say three times during a shofar is enough. Yeah. Mishnah says, Shosho Yisrael Shinagach Shoshalak. If a shofar belonging to a regular Yisrael gores a shofar belonging to Hekdish, or shall hektish shnagach a shur shall head yet, or the other way around, shur of hektish gore the shur belonging to a head yet. Pater, shenema shur re'eu v'lo shur shall hektish, because the pasuk says that these dinim only apply to the shur of your colleague, meaning another yid, not a shur of hektish. The Rashash, by the way, says an interesting thing. Why does the Mishnah start off with Yisrael and continue with head yet? He says because the next part of the Mishnah is going to tell us, let's learn the rest of the Mishnah and then I'll explain it. The Mishnah continued, Shur Shur Yisrael Shanagach Shur Shur Knani, Potter. If a Jew's Shur gores a Shur of a Knani, Knani is changed by the senses, it's whether it's a Nakri or Goy or what have you. So a Jew's Shur gores a Shur of a Goy, Potter, and he's Potter from pain. The Shur Knani, Shanagach Shur Shur Yisrael, but if a Goy's Shur gores a Jew's Shur, Ben Tam Ben Muad, Mashalam Nezek Shalom. Regardless whether the Goy's Shur was Tam or Muad, he's going to have to pay Nezek Shalom. Why is it? We'll talk about it in the Gemara tomorrow, we'll have an extensive discussion about it in the Gemara. But I'll tell you anyway, the Rashash says an interesting thing. He says that's why the Mishnah started off with Shur Shur Yisrael and then continued with Shur Shal Hedya. Because only when it comes to the case of goring a Shur of Hekdesh, the Keturah is only for a Jew's Shur goring a Shur of Hekdesh. If a Goy's Shur were to gore a Shur of Hekdesh, it would be Chayiv Nezek Shalom, same as a gored a regular Yid. On the other hand, Shal Hekdesh, Shenagach, or Shur Shal Hedyot, if a Hekdesh Shur gores a Shur belonging to a Hedyot, regardless whether that Hedyot is a Goy or a Yid, Hekdesh is going to be possible. So there's that. That he says that's the reason for the terminology change in the Mishnah. I'll tell you, by the way, we'll start a little bit of the Gemara, but I'll tell you a fascinating verse that Shamsha Nafal Hirsch says about this. He says, this is one of the greatest proofs, this din, that you potter if you're sure of Gur, the sure of Hektish, and in general, a number of Rishonim say that it's not only as far as Shivorim, but in general, as far as Nezikin, if you damage property of Hektish, many, we learned earlier in the Sefer Tosfos said, for example, that there's a number of Rishonim that say that you potter. From this, he says this is one of the greatest proofs that the Torah was given by the Eibishter and not made up by people. If people, if the Kohenim, for example, had made up the Torah, wouldn't they make the harshest penalties for anybody who damages that fish? And yet, Fakir. Yeah, and yet, Fakir, they say he's Fakir.
You must not be too happy about that.
Right. Okay. Well, when we say hektish over here, there is a good deal of discussion among the Mefarshim. What kind of hektish do we mean over here? Is it kachim kalim versus kachim kalim? We discussed earlier in the Sefer kachim kalim might be mamet bailim. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, the principle is. Okay. The Gemara starts off. Machnisin delighted of Shimon now. Evidently, our Mishnah does not hold. What?
This one.
This Mishnah. Let me just look. Evidently, does not hold like Shimon Menasya. The Tanya, Shur shall have yet Shinurgach Shur shall Hektish. If a private citizen's Shur gores a Shur of Hektish, shall Hektish Shinurgach Shur shall have yet Potter, Shinemra, because that's the Potter, Shur to Eru, implying the Shur shall Hektish, which is what our mission says. But then comes Rav Shimon Menasya, no, Shur shall Hektish Shinurgach Shur shall have yet Potter. If a Hektish Shur gores a regular Shur, then yes, Hektish is Potter. But if a shall have yet Shinurgach Shur shall Hektish, on the contrary, Ben Tam, Ben Mur, Mashalom Nezik Cholet. But not your potter, if I care, you're always going to pay Nezik Cholet.
So I had you to go in Hektish,
yeah. So we have to ask, Amri, Micah, Svara, Rav Shimon. I mean, what's Rav Shimon Menasya Svara? E Re'ehu Dafka, if he figures the one that Torah says the word Re'ehu means Dafka Re'ehu, Dafka your colleague, well, then after the Shal Hektish, and Shal Hektish, look there. Then why you Chayev if you are Gore the Shor of Hektish? Hektish is not Re'ehu. The E Re'ehu Lav Dafka, and if the word Re'ehu is not meant Dafka, it's a Dibra Torah Koloshim Re'adim, let's say, then after you look at Hektish Nami, you know the Hedyet L'chayim. Then why should Hektish be Potter if they're sure Gors are sure of a Hedyet? The Chitem, and you might answer Lo'olam Kosova Re'ehu Dafka, so you might argue, okay, Rav Shimon Menasya would answer that yes, when the Torah says Re'ehu, it means only Re'ehu, Hektish is exempt. Umihu the hediyot kinogach the hektish hain a time of the mechayev. So why would we say that mechayev if a hediyot shur gur the shur of hektish mishum the kamaisi then kavachomer the hediyot? Because you might argue that he makes a kavachomer from a hediyot. Uma hediyot shenogach shall hediyot chayev. Madaf if a regular person's shur gur is another regular person's shur. Wait. He would argue that yes, you have the pasuk reihu and the kavachomer. It's all on top of that, something else. Madoch Yuchayev if Re'ehu, Kinogach the Hektish, like Hoshkin the Machayev. Then how much more so? You should be Chayev if it Gor Hektish is. So the Rabbanon would answer that no. When the Pasuk says Re'ehu, it means Dafka Re'ehu, that comes to tell us against any Kavachomer. Rav Shimon Menasya, you could argue, it says not like that. Problem with that is, Dayo Lavomin Adinli is Kinodr. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, there's the concept of Dayo, that you can't make what you're learning from a Kavachomer be stronger than the original. Fine, if a hediot's sure gore the hediot's sure, and the animal and the attacking animal the time, you're paying only chati nezik, how can Rav Shimon Menasya be saying that if a gore the sure of hektish, you're going to pay nezik cholet? Yeah. So no, that doesn't work. Ela omer shlokish. So shlokish says, no, we have to explain differently. Hakol hayu b'chlam nezik cholet. What it is like this. The Torah, there was a general concept that the Torah said that you chayev nezik cholet, that you're off gore the another one. Meaning, if the Torah had not made a distinction between Tam and Mord, there'd be no reason to distinguish. He'd say you're always Chayiv Nezik Cholet. So part of the Chak, part of Re'ehu, Gavik Tam, when the Torah then singles out and mentions by a Tam the concept of Re'ehu, it means Re'ehu who the Tam Mashalim Chati Nezik, only when it's Re'ehu is a Tam exempted and pays only Chati Nezik. Mikal the Hektish, Ben Tam and Mord, Mashalim Nezik Cholet, meaning but Hektish, which is not Re'ehu, you're back to the original where you would pay Nezik Cholet.
Re'ehu means to.
So Re'ehu comes to be Mako on the guy and allow him to pay only Chati Nezik. It actually has two explanations of exactly what the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Menasya. But Rashi, as I'll mention briefly, has two different ways of explaining what Rish Lakish is saying. Is he taking away the whole limud that we were saying before, that we're not dealing with Kavachomers or Re'ehu or anything? Or is it only that, is he trying to say only never mind the Kavachomer? Or is he saying, never mind Re'ehu? Two different ways.
Okay.
Im came because Rav Shimon ben Achi argues, otherwise, if the Torah had meant to pastor you from paying Nezek Shalim, even for Hekesh, Nichtiv Kra L'Re'ehu Gavi Muad, then the Torah should have you put the word Re'ehu by Muad, and then we would learn, like the Chachamim do, that you're Potter because Hekesh is not Re'ehu. Since it put Re'ehu by a Pam, that implies, Rav Shimon ben Achi says, the Torah is trying to be Meiko on you by a Pam if it's Re'ehu, but not that exemption does not apply if you're damaging Hekesh. Whereas again, the Chachamim say, since it says Re'ehu, the fact is it says Re'ehu. So it means across the board. It means regardless whether Tam, whether Muad, it's not Re'ehu, therefore you're Potter.
And the Halacha.
The Halacha is like the Chachamim. So you're Potter if you damage Hekesh.